Now I know there are many questions from that last class.
अनि यो गएको क्लास देखि मलाई थाहा छ तपाईहरुले तपाईहरुप्रति धेरै प्रश्नहरु छ.
When I first heard this,
मैले पनि यो दबाए यो कुरा सुने थे.
I had about 100 questions.
100 प्रश्नहरु मेरो उसमा मनमा सिर्जि आले.
So we'll have some question and answer after class.
यो क्लास पछि हामीमा प्रश्न उत्तर समय रहने छ.
But listen carefully. I'm not asking if you agree with what I'm saying. I'm asking, do you understand what I'm saying? It takes time for a man to determine whether he agrees or disagrees with something. But you must understand what we're saying. You can understand what we're saying, but that doesn't mean you agree with it. So my first responsibility is not to make you to agree. My responsibility is to help you understand. There's much confusion upon this subject. And there are much false teaching on this subject. And there are many questions about this subject. We're talking about man in Christ. How does he get out of darkness into light? How does he get out of Adam into Christ? How does he get out of death into life? Our first day, we talked about man's condition. Spiritually dead, totally depraved, morally unable, legally guilty, spiritually bound. According to the word of God, man is not just sick, he's dead. He's not just partially depraved, he's totally depraved. Including his will. His will is bound. That leads to moral inability. He has lost the ability to repent and believe. And he is legally guilty. And he's in bondage to the devil. He has a double blindness. He is blinded by sin. And he's blinded by the devil. Dead, depraved, unable, guilty, in bondage. That is man's condition. How does he get out of that condition? If he can't believe, how does he believe? If he can't repent, how does he repent? If he can't come, how does he come? You tell him to come, he won't come. You tell him to repent, he won't repent. You tell him to believe, he won't believe. What's his problem? He's blind. His will is bound. He's spiritually dead. He has no power. How does a dead man live? How does a dead man believe? How does a dead man repent? That's what we want to talk about this hour. If God wills, the next time I come, we'll talk about propitiation and reconciliation. But I want to move to this subject. Because if we leave man dead, that's not a good condition to leave man in. If I come in here and teach this, man is dead, and then I leave, you say, wait a minute, come back. Man is dead. We believe that. But how does he believe? You hadn't told us. How does a dead man believe? We want to talk about the application of salvation. We're talking about man in Christ now. First, we talked about the accomplishment of salvation. The obedience of Christ. In life and in death. Obedience to the law. Suffered the law's curse. And he accomplished a redemption. And redemption is free. Things. Pay the price. Release from bondage. Make your own possession. What price did he pay? His own life, his own blood. What did he deliver us from? The curse of the law. The penalty of sin. The power of sin. The bondage of the devil. And the wrath to come. What does he make us? Beloved children. That is the work of Christ. This is what we've said. The Trinity. The Father,
Pita,
the Son,
Sura,
and the Holy Spirit work together in salvation.
Mukti ko kaam hota tini prakarle kaam hota.
From all eternity,
Ananta bata,
Father,
Pita,
Son,
Putra,
and Holy Spirit
Pavitra Atma
live together in perfect unity and perfect love before you were alive, before there was Nepal, before there was the world, before there was sun, moon and stars, before there were angels. There were three persons. Perfect. United. Equal.
Barabar.
In a shared love.
And ek prakar aapna se prem baadte the.
And they had a plan.
Ani wahi unko yojana thiyo.
And the plan was to glorify the name of God.
Jun chai yojana chai parmeshwar ko naam lai mahima dinu.
To display the attributes of God.
Parmeshwar ko aapna chai vyavahar charitra haru lai chai dekhaunu ho.
To display the glory of His love and grace. And to display the glory of His justice and His wrath. Because every attribute of God must be glorified. And they had an agreement one with another. And the Father said, I will choose a people. And the Son said, if you choose them, I will go and redeem them. And the Spirit said, if you will go and redeem them, I will go and give them life. And in Ephesians chapter 1, you have the work of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Look at that one more time. Very important passage. The Trinity works together in our salvation. What is the work of the Father? Verse 4. The Father chooses. Verse 5. The Father predestines. And what is the final purpose? Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace. That is the work of the Father. What is the work of the Son? Notice what it says. Verse 7. What is the work of the Son? Redemption. How? Through His blood. What is the result? The forgiveness of our trespasses. For what final purpose? Verse 12. Look at verse 12. Why did the Son redeem us? To the praise of His glory. Do you see that? Paul repeats it again. Verse 13. What is the work of the Spirit? He seals us. For what purpose? Verse 14. To the praise of His glory. Now listen carefully. What does Paul say? God, the Trinity, has a plan. The Father chooses to the praise of His glory. The Son redeemed to the praise of His glory. The Spirit gives life to the praise of His glory. Three persons working together to accomplish one goal, the praise of the glory of God. What does Paul say? The Father chooses to the praise of His glory. The Son redeemed to the praise of His glory. The Spirit gives life to the praise of His glory. They work together. Same heart. Same mind. Same purpose. Father chooses. Son redeems. Spirit regenerates. This is what Paul says. This is not what I say. What is God's highest purpose? It's not the salvation of man. Did you hear that? What is God's highest purpose? Not the salvation of man. What is God's highest purpose? What does Paul say? What's the highest purpose of God? Is man the highest purpose of God? What does Paul say? What is the highest purpose of God? The glory of God. God will be glorified in all of His attributes. His love and mercy and grace will be glorified. His holiness, justice, and wrath will be glorified. We often think that God's purpose ends on man. God's purpose ends upon Himself. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. What is Paul's conclusion? Romans chapter 11, verse 36. What does Paul say? From whom? To him? Or through him? To him? Are all things? To man be the glory? What does Paul say? To God be the glory. He is the beginning. He is the middle. He is the end. Of all things. Why do all things exist? Why do you exist? Not for your own happiness, but for the glory of God. Paul says this. Where is God going? Where is He going? What is His purpose? What is His end? What is His final destination? Why did He send His Son? Where will it end? Where will it end? God. It will end with God. And you need to understand that. It doesn't end with man. What does Paul say? The Father chooses. The Son redeems. The Spirit gives life. Why? He says it three times. Verse 6, to the praise of His glory. Verse 12, to the praise of His glory. Verse 14, to the praise of His glory. Why did the Father choose? The praise of His glory. Why did the Son die? To praise His glory. Why does the Spirit give life? To the praise of His glory. Why do you exist? Praise of His glory. So here's the question. If men are dead in sin, how can they believe? Let's talk about the application. Application of salvation. Right down there. Or the power of salvation. And what is the power of what is the power of salvation?
मुक्तिको चाहिँ शक्ति के हो त?
Listen carefully.
ध्यानपूर्वक
सुन्नुहोस्. Regeneration.
पुनर्जन्म हो.
Or Jesus calls it the new birth.
येशू ख्रीष्टले चाहिँ नयाँ जन्मको बारेमा बताउँछ.
This is how dead men live. I want to talk briefly about the doctrine of regeneration. Man in sin. Spiritually dead. Totally depraved. Morally unable. Legally guilty. In spiritual bondage. When you preach to lost men, you're preaching to dead men. Why do some men believe? How can some men believe? This is what the Bible says. The power of salvation is the work of regeneration. Now let's mention several things about regeneration. First thing, the necessity of regeneration. Necessity. Look in the Gospel of John. John chapter
3.
A very familiar passage. Let's look together at John
3.
A man came to Jesus at night. What was his name? What was he?
Nicodemus.
A Pharisee. A teacher of Israel. A religious man. Who studied the Bible. But he had an interest in what Jesus was saying. But he was fearful of man. So when the crowds went away, he came to Jesus at night. And what did he say? He gave Jesus face. He gave him face. He complimented him. Verse
2.
Rabbi, we know you've come from God as a teacher. No one can do these things unless God is with him. Nicodemus was being outwardly polite. He was wearing a mask. But Jesus saw behind the mask.
He
saw his heart. And he knew what Nicodemus was really wanting to know. And what did Jesus say? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, listen carefully. There's an important word here. In the Greek. What is that word? You have that word? Cannot.
Cannot.
He doesn't say he will not. He cannot see the kingdom of God. How do you see the kingdom of God? You see it with the eyes of faith.
तपाईहरुले आँखा विश्वको आँखाद्वारा नै तपाईले देख्न सक्नुहुन्छ.
What does it mean to see the kingdom of God?
यो परमेश्वरको राज्य देख्नु भनेको के हो त?
To see who Jesus is.
यो कुरा हो कि को येशु ख्रीष्ट हुनुहुन्छ भनेर.
And to understand why Jesus came.
अनि कि यो कुरा जान्नु कि परमेश्वर येशु ख्रीष्ट किन यो संसारमा आउनु भयो.
And the door to the kingdom of God.
अनि परमेश्वरको त्यो राज्यको त्यो ढोका.
The gate into the kingdom of God.
परमेश्वरको राज्यको त्यो ढोका जान जाने.
Has two hinges or two doors on it. And if you want to go into the kingdom of God, if you want to see it, if you want to enter it, he's talking about how a man becomes a Christian. What is the door? True conversion. And true conversion has two parts. Repentance and faith. How does a man enter the kingdom of God? He sees it by faith. But what does Jesus say? Unless a man is born again, he cannot see. What does Jesus say? Now listen carefully. What does Jesus say? Before you can enter the kingdom of God, before you can see the kingdom of God, before you can go through the door into the kingdom, before you can believe, before you can repent, you must be born again. And if you are not born again, you cannot see. You cannot enter. You cannot repent. You cannot believe. Why is regeneration necessary? Because man is dead. Can't see. Can't walk. Can't believe. Can't repent. What does Jesus say? You're blind. No power. You can't walk. You can't enter. You can't see it. You can't receive it. You can't believe. You can't repent. What does Jesus say? Before you can believe, you must be born again. Now 99% of the preachers in Nepal, they preach this. You repent, you believe, then you're born again. But what does Jesus say? Before you can repent, before you can believe, before you can see, before you can enter, something must happen to you. Because you're dead in sin, you must be born again. And if you're not born again, you cannot see. You cannot enter. You cannot repent. You cannot believe. Why is regeneration absolutely necessary? Verse 3. If you are not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Listen carefully. Jesus is not giving a command. He's making a statement of fact. He's not saying this. You must cause yourself to be born again. He's not giving a command. He's stating a fact. Before you can see. Before you can see. You must be born again. What did Jesus say? No man can come to me Unless the Father draws him. How does he draw him? By regeneration. Why is regeneration necessary? According to Jesus. Unless you're born again, you cannot
see.
Do you understand what Jesus is saying? Now I go all over to China and preach this. And I say, according to Jesus, what comes first? Regeneration or faith? Faith. You believe. Then you're born again. But if man is dead in sin, and his will is bound, how can he believe? Something must happen to him first. And if this doesn't happen, you can't believe. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. You must first be born again. Then you see. Then you enter. Then you believe. Why is regeneration necessary? Because man is dead in sin. Jesus doesn't say he will not. He says you cannot. Number two. The nature of regeneration. What is it? Its definition, its nature. Yeah, definition or nature. Thank you, brother. Look in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians. Chapter
2. Do you have that?
We've talked about the necessity of regeneration. Why is it necessary? Because man is dead. And before he can believe, something must happen to him. What must happen to him? Look in Ephesians. Verse 1. What is man's condition?
Chapter 2.
You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You walked according to the course of the world. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, made us alive together with Christ. What is the definition of regeneration? It's making a dead man alive. It's giving spiritual life to a dead soul. You were dead. He makes you alive. Spiritually dead. Spiritual life. What is regeneration? It is spiritual life coming into a dead soul. And giving him life. That's the nature of regeneration. Look in the book of Titus. And chapter
3.
We're talking about the definition of regeneration. And verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5.
तितसको पुस्तक 3 अध्यायको 5 पदमा
says he saved us.
यहाँ चाहिँ भन्छ उहाँले हामीलाई बचाउनु भयो.
We did not save ourselves.
हामीले आफैले आफूलाई बचाएका हैन.
It's not according to our own deeds done in righteousness.
हाम्रो काम र हाम्रो धार्मिकताले हैन.
But it's according to his mercy.
तर उहाँको अनुग्रह उहाँको दयाको कारणले हो.
And how does he do this?
कसरी उहाँले गर्नुभयो?
By the washing of regeneration.
अनि उहाँको चाहिँ पुनः नवीकरणबाट नै हो.
And the renewal of the Holy Spirit.
पवित्र आत्माको
How does Paul describe regeneration?
He
calls it a washing and a renewing. Not an outward washing, but an inward washing. Not a cleansing of the body, but a cleansing of the soul. He says it is a renewal. Take something that is dead and makes it alive. Look in the book of James. James chapter 1. We're talking about the definition of regeneration. Verse 18. How does James describe the new birth? Look at verse 18. 118. Not according to our will, he said. But it's the exercise of his will. We did not give birth to ourselves. It says he brought us forth. By the word of truth. How does James describe it? Like a baby being born. It's a new birth. It's a second birth. Not by our own will, but by the exercise of his will. Not by our own power, but by the power of God. Not by some power within us, but the power that comes outside of us. We have no power. We have no faith. We have no ability. It comes from outside. Look in 1 Peter. What does Peter say? 1 Peter chapter 1.
Verse
23. How does he describe it? You've been born again. Not of seed perishable but imperishable. Through the living and abiding word of God. Chapter 2. And verse 2. What is the result? You are a newborn baby. Listen carefully. According to Jesus. According to Paul. According to Peter. According to James. According to John. What is the definition of the new birth? It's life from above. It is making alive. It is an inward washing. It is an inward renewal. It's like a baby being born. It is giving of new life to a dead soul. Where does that life come from? Not from within. It comes from without. Why is the new birth necessary? Because man is dead. How do the writers of the New Testament describe it? From above. Making alive. A new birth. An inward washing. A renewal. Number three. Who is the agent? Who does it? Who does it? Who is the agent of new birth? Who performs the new birth? Turn back to John chapter 3. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Verse 3. Says you must be born again. Verse 5. He says it again. But he adds something. Says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Water and the Spirit.
Atma.
What does he mean? What does he mean by water? Three possible interpretations. First interpretation. He's talking about physical birth. When a baby is born, usually water comes out. He said, Nicodemus, you're talking about physical birth. But physical birth is not enough. You must be born physically. But you must be born spiritually. That's one possible interpretation. But I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. Second possible interpretation. Water means baptism. It means baptism. Some say Jesus is talking about baptism. But I don't believe that's accurate. Because we're not saved through baptism. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not a result of works. It's not a result of obedience. You're not saved by baptism. If you are saved, you should be baptized. But baptism doesn't save you. Third interpretation. Who's Jesus talking to? Nicodemus. Who is Nicodemus? A Pharisee. A teacher of Israel. A man that knew the Old Testament law. And notice what Jesus says. And verse 10.
Das padma.
You're a teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things?
तिमी चाहिँ इस्राएलको गुरु हौ र पनि यो कुरा बुझ्दैनौ?
What does the Old Testament say?
पुरानो नियमले के भन्दछ?
In the book of Ezekiel.
Ezekielको पुस्तकमा.
Chapter 36.
36 अध्यायमा.
The promise of a new covenant.
नयाँ करारको चाहिँ प्रतिज्ञाको बारेमा त छ.
And what is the promise of the new covenant?
नयाँ करारको चाहिँ प्रतिज्ञा के थियो त?
I will cleanse and sprinkle you with fresh water.
मैले चाहिँ एकदम शुद्ध पानीले चाहिँ छर्नेछु र चाहिँ धुनेछु पखाल्नेछु.
And I will put my spirit within you.
अनि चाहिँ मेरो आत्मा तिमीहरूको हृदयमा हालिदिनेछु.
I will take out your heart of stone.
तिमीहरूको ढुङ्गाको हृदयलाई चाहिँ म निकालिदिनेछु.
And I will give you a heart of flesh.
मैले चाहिँ मासुको हृदय हालिदिनेछु.
What did Jesus say?
येशू ख्रीष्टले के भन्दै
हुनुहुन्छ? You're a teacher of Israel. And you don't understand these things. This is prophesied concerning me. This is prophesied concerning the new covenant.
And
what does the new covenant say? I will cleanse you with water. I will give you my spirit. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about Ezekiel 36. Nicodemus, you're a teacher of Israel. You teach the Bible. You don't know Ezekiel 36. You must be born of water and the spirit. That's a prophecy.
Of
the new covenant. Nicodemus. You don't know your own Bible. Verse 7. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again.
मैले तिमीलाई नयाँ गरी जन्मनु पर्छ भन्दा अचम्म नमान.
Verse
6.
That which is born of flesh is flesh.
शरीरबाट जन्मेको चाहिँ शरीर हो.
That which is born of spirit is spirit.
र पवित्र आत्माबाट जन्मेको आत्मा हो.
Verse 8.
आत्मा.
The wind blows where it wills.
बतास जता चाहन्छ उतै बन्छ.
You hear its sound?
उसको आवाज तपाईँले सुन्नुहुन्छ?
You see its influence.
उसको कता बगिरहेको छ त्यो देख्नुहुन्छ?
But you don't know where it comes from.
कताबाट आइरहेको छ?
And you don't know where it's going.
अहिले चाहिँ कता गइरहेको छ?
That's what it is to be born of the Spirit.
यो यस्तै नै हो त्यो नयाँ गरी जन्मनु भनेको.
The wind blows where it wills.
अनि चाहिँ आफ्नो इच्छामा त्यो हावा बहन्छ.
Can you control the wind?
के तपाईँले त्यो हावालाई नियन्त्रणमा राख्न सक्नुहुन्छ?
Can you tell it which way to blow? He says that's the way the new birth is. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's mysterious. It's supernatural. It's sovereign. It's according to His will. And the wind blows where it wills. So is everyone born of the Spirit. Who is the agent of the new birth? The Holy Spirit. The Father chooses. The Son redeems. The Spirit gives life. The agent of regeneration is the Holy Spirit. Write this verse down. Titus chapter 3. Verse 5. We just looked at it. It's the washing of regeneration. And the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Who is the agent of regeneration? Holy Spirit. Number 4. The instrument. What does he use? The instrument of regeneration. Instrument, yeah. What do we mean?
यो भन्नु पर्छ के हो? नयाँ जन्मको उपकरण, instrument के कुनै यस्तो वस्तु.
It's the tool.
एउटा tool, एउटा साधन.
Why is it necessary?
किन चाहिँ आवश्यकता छ?
Man is dead. What is it? Give new life. Who does it? The Holy Spirit. What does He use? The Word of God. What do we mean? When a man goes out to plant a crop, what does he put in the ground? Seed. There's no seed. No plant. What is the seed? The Word of God. Look in John 6.
You are not taught that.
Verse 63.
John 6:63.
Who gives life? It is the Spirit that gives life. What is the use of the flesh? The flesh profits nothing. How does the Spirit give life? The words I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. Write this verse down. Romans chapter 10. And verse 17. What does it say? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of Christ. Write this verse down. James chapter 1. And verse 18. By His own will He brings us forth. How? By the word of truth. That's what James said. Look again at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. What does Peter say? Chapter 1. Verse 23. You've been born again. Chapter 1, verse 23. Not a perishable seed, but imperishable seed. And what is that seed? A living and abiding word of God. Listen carefully. Men are dead in sin. They must be given new life. The Spirit gives them life. How does He do it? We preach the gospel to all men. A man goes out to scatter seed. Some seed falls on the rocks. And the birds come down. And they eat the seed. Those are those that the devil comes and snatches away the word of God. The other seed falls on the path, on the side. Springs up for a minute. But has no root. The sun comes. And it dies. Why? Had no root. Some seeds thrown in the rocky places and among the weeds. And the weeds grow up. And choke out this plant. But some seed falls on the good ground. What is the preacher's responsibility? Gather the seed. Preach the gospel. Proclaim the word of God. That is the instrument. You can't give them life. You tell them to come. They don't come. You give them the seed. They look at it. They throw it away. But some believe. Why? The rain falls. And the sun shines. And something happens to that little seed. It's in the ground. The rain falls. The sun shines. And what happens to that seed? Life.
Jeevan.
And it bears fruit. Who does that? What does the preacher do? He scatters the seed. He waters it with prayer. But the Holy Spirit must come and send life. Why? Because man is dead. And he must be made alive. And only the Holy Spirit can do it. And how did he do it? By the word of God. And lastly, number five. What is the result of regeneration? The necessity, the definition, the person, the instrument, the result. What is the result of regeneration? Listen carefully. When God gives life to a dead soul, before his mind was darkened, now his mind is illuminated. Before his eyes were blind, now his eyes were open. Before his heart was hard, now he has a new heart. Before his will was bound, now he has a freed will. Before his conscience was defiled, now he has a cleansed conscience. When God gives life to a dead soul,
परमेश्वरको आत्मालाई त्यसा
अनि
दुईवटा आशिषहरू उहाँले दिनुहुन्छ दुईवटा वरदानहरू उहाँले दिनुहुन्छ
The gift of repentance and the gift of faith. Repentance is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. Look in the book of Acts. Chapter 5. We're talking about the results of regeneration. Man is dead. He cannot repent. He cannot believe. No power. No life. No understanding. No sight. No ability. No desire. No man seeks God. No man understands God. No man loves God. No man chooses God. Man cannot repent. Where does repentance come from? It comes from God. Chapter 5. What does Peter say? Verse 30. Look at the verse. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus that you put to death. Chapter 5, verse 30. Acts 5.
30.
Oh, I'm 30. Oh.
This part, ma'am. Part of my good. This part, ma'am. Ready?
Verse 31.
Act this part.
Look at 31.
Act this part, ma'am.
He is the one God has exalted to his right hand as Prince and Savior. And what does he do? He gives repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. According to Peter, where does repentance come from? From man? What did Peter say? It comes from God. It's a gift. Look at chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Peter has gone to the house of Cornelius. He's preached the gospel. The Gentiles have believed. The Jews could not understand that. Peter goes back to Jerusalem. He tells what happened at Cornelius' house. Chapter 11, verse 17. What is Peter's conclusion? Well, if God gave to them the same gift He gave to us, then how could I stand in God's way? Look at verse 18. When the Jews heard this, they settled down and glorified God. And what did they say? Well, God has given to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. Where does repentance come from? This is what Peter said. Is it not what I'm saying? This is what the Word of God said. What is the result of the new birth? God gives two gifts. The gift of repentance and the gift of faith. Look at 2 Timothy. Timothy and chapter 2. He's talking to preachers. Verse 24. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome. Verse
24,
chapter 2. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. Be kind to all. Able to teach. Patient when he's wrong. Verse
25.
With gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. Now look at the next verse. Where does repentance come from? If perhaps God may give them repentance. Where does repentance come from? It comes from God. It is the gift of God. How does it come? By the new birth. It's a gift. This is what Paul said. This is what Peter said. Now listen carefully. What is the relationship of regeneration and conversion? What is conversion? What is conversion? Two things. Repentance and faith. That's how a man becomes a Christian. He doesn't become a Christian by asking Jesus into his heart. He becomes a Christian by repenting and believing. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached. They said, what must we do to be saved? What did Peter say? Well, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. You open the door, he'll come in. Is that what Peter said? What did Peter say? Repent. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are in the prison. Great earthquake. Door opens up. There, the jailer. He wakes up. He sees the door open. He thought they had escaped. He pulled out his sword. He's about to kill himself. Why? Because if the prisoners escape, the government would cut off his head. He's about to kill himself. Peter, Paul says this. Wait. We're still here. The jailer gets a light. He comes in the prison. He falls down. What did he say? What must I do to be saved? What did Paul say? Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. If you open the door, he'll come in. Is that what Paul said? What did Paul say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Repentance and faith. That's what it means to be converted. Regeneration is the giving of life. Conversion is man believing and repenting. John chapter 11. Lazarus is in the tomb. How long has he been there? 4 days. He's dead. And he stinks. Jesus comes to the tomb. He says, roll away the stone. Martha says this. Lord, he's dead. He stinks. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus says, roll away the tomb. And he prays. Father, I thank you that you hear me. And you always hear me. And then what did he say? Lazarus! Come forth. Lazarus is dead. Has Lazarus got any power to come forth? He's dead. Can't see. Can't hear. Can't choose. Can't walk. Can't believe. He's dead. No life. No power. No ability. He is dead. Listen carefully. When Jesus told him to come out, he commanded Lazarus to do something he could not do. Did you hear that? He commanded Lazarus to do something he could not do. He told him to come out. He couldn't come out. But when Jesus said this, Lazarus, he called him. And with the voice, life. And a dead man came alive. And what did he do? He came to Christ. Now listen carefully. That's a picture of the relationship of regeneration and conversion. And if you don't understand that, you cannot understand the power of God. Jesus said this, John 5, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man. And those that hear will live. They will come forth to life. And when Jesus called Lazarus, he commanded him to come. Lazarus cannot come. But when he commanded him, he gave him life. And Lazarus was awakened. And the first thing he did was what? He came to Christ. Everybody standing outside, they saw Lazarus coming to Jesus. But what did they not see? They didn't see the power of God go into Lazarus. Why? It's hidden. It's secret. It's supernatural. It's invisible. It's sovereign. It's the power of God. We preach to all men. We tell them to come. Some men come. Some men do not come. Why do some men come? Because God gives them life. Shoo! 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 and they come alive. And he gives them two gifts. Repentance and faith. And the first man, the first thing a dead man does when he comes alive, he comes to Christ. Jesus said, Lazarus,
come
forth. New life. Lazarus says, I'm not coming. Is that what he said? I'm not coming out. Listen, my friend. When God gives life, they must come. They will come. They shall come. Why? Because my sheep hear my voice. And I give them life. And they come. And they follow me. And they will never perish. What is the preacher's responsibility? Preach to all men. Preach the gospel to all men. Tell them to come. Tell them to repent. Tell them to believe. Can you make them come? Can you make them believe? Can you give them life? No. What is your responsibility? Speak to them. Remember Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones. No life. No power. God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? What did Ezekiel say? What did Ezekiel say? Lord, you know. What did God tell him to do? Speak to the bones. Speak to the bones. What is the preacher's responsibility? Speak to the bones. Speak to the bones. You can't make them live. But what is your responsibility? Speak to the bones. And tell them to come. And God, according to his sovereign purpose, must give them life. And if he doesn't give them life, they will not come. But when he gives them life, they must come. They shall come. They must come. Why? Because they are his sheep. Now listen carefully. You don't know who is going to believe. When you preach to men, you can't do this. Well, is he going to believe? Is he elect? There's no mark on him. What do you do? Speak to all men. Scatter the seed. Tell them this. If you repent, if you believe, right now, he will save you. Now listen carefully. In the garden, man lost the ability to believe, but he did not lose the responsibility to believe. So when we preach to men, we don't preach to their inability. We preach to their responsibility. On the day of Pentecost, when they said, men and brethren, what must we do? What did Peter say? Nothing you can do. You're dead in sin. You can't believe. Is that what he said? What did he say? Repent. Believe. Come. He preached to their responsibility. How do we preach the gospel? We go out to all the world. To our neighbors. To our children. To our friends. To this part of Nepal. To that part of Nepal. And what do? We preach the gospel. And we tell them this. Jesus died for sinners. If you confess your sin, if you repent of your sin, if you come to Christ right now, He will save you. Come. How does a man get from darkness to light? How does a man get from Adam to Christ? How does a man get from Satan into the kingdom of God? By the power of God. Now listen carefully. If I come back in 3 or 4 months, and I give you a test, and I ask you this question. Regeneration and conversion. Which comes first? Every time I come back, 99% of the preachers, they say this. You believe, then you're born again. What did Jesus say? You must be born again. Then you believe. Listen carefully. A man is born again. And this is not my meaning. This is not my meaning. I don't mean this. Man's born again. 10 years later, he's converted. No. Regeneration is the cause. Conversion is the result. Regeneration is the root. Conversion is the fruit. Regeneration is an act of God. Conversion is the response of man. In regeneration, man is passive. God gives him life. In conversion, man is active. One is the cause. One is the result. That is the relationship of regeneration and conversion. So what is our question? How can a dead man believe? This is our answer. Regeneration. Why is it necessary? Because man is dead. What is it? Giving new life. Who does it? The Holy Spirit. What does he use? The Word of God. What is the result? True conversion. Repentance and faith. It's a gift of God. Listen carefully. Conversion. Regeneration. And conversion. It's just like this. If you slowed it down in slow motion, you know slow motion? An act of God, the response of man. But in ordinary time, life, he comes. Life, he comes. Shoo, shoo.
एकैचोटिमा आउँछ.
Regeneration.
पुनर्जन्मका.
Conversion.
परिवर्तन.
An act of God.
परमेश्वरको कार्य.
The response of man.
मान्छेको प्रतिक्रिया.
Man is passive.
मान्छे
man is active.
मान्छे सक्रिय हुन्छ मान्छे.
That's the relationship of regeneration and conversion.
यो चाहिँ पुनर्जन्म र चाहिँ परिवर्तनको चाहिँ सम्बन्ध.
How can a dead man believe?
कसरी चाहिँ मृत मान्छेले विश्वास गर्न सक्छ?
God gives him life.
परमेश्वरले उसलाई जीवन
दिन्छ. One last question.
एउटा अन्तिम प्रश्न.
Why does God give some men life and does not give other men life?
किन परमेश्वरले चाहिँ कोही मान्छेलाई जीवन दिनुहुन्छ र कोही मान्छेलाई जीवन दिनुहुन्न त?
From all eternity, He determined to save a people. The Jews rejected. Why? Why did they not believe? Jesus said this, John 10, you do not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And I give them eternal life. Why are some men born again? Because why do some men believe? Acts 13. Verse 48. As many as had been ordained to eternal life believe. He doesn't say this. They believe. Then they were ordained to eternal life. Why do they believe? They are born again. Why are they born again? Because they were ordained to eternal life. God doesn't have to save anyone. He's not obligated to save anyone. All men deserve to go to hell. And Paul said this. In past generations, past days, God permitted men to go their own way. He left them alone. No light. No truth. No gospel. Why? I live in China. China's got a history of 4,000 or 5,000 years. You know when the gospel came to China? The true gospel? About 200 years ago. 4,000 years. Men lived in darkness. Why? Paul says this. God permitted them to go their own way. That's a mystery. And when I hear that, you know what it makes me do? Fall down and thank God that He saved me. What does the doctrine of election do to a man? The doctrine of election, it humbles him. And it makes him thankful. It makes him confident in his ministry.
निर्धक्क बनाउँदछ.
Because you can't save men. Acts chapter 16. Paul goes to Macedonia. He goes down by the riverside. And what does he find? A bunch of ladies. And what are they doing? They pray. What does Paul do? He preaches. And what does it say? One woman. What was her name? Lydia.
Lydia.
What does it say? And Lydia opened her heart.
Lydia let the
arm. Is that what it says? What does it say? God opened her heart. To receive the things that Paul spoke. How does God open the heart? By the work of regeneration. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, the most important question in the world, what must I do to be saved? How can I become a Christian? How can I go from darkness to light? How can I go from Adam to Christ? How can I have the forgiveness of sin? This is what God says. I have provided a Savior, and He has come to save sinners. And if you will confess your sin, and if you will turn from sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Jesus said this, whoever comes to me, I will never cast away. How do you come to Christ? You go home. Shut your door. Get on your knees. And you pray to God. Oh God. Open my heart. I repent. I believe in Jesus. I commit my life to Christ. Give me a new heart. I trust you. I turn from sin. I give up my life. I commit my heart to you. Give me a new heart. Save my soul. My friend, if you do that, if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Well, let's pray.